The recent successful flyby and loop around of the far side of the moon by Artemis II is set to either solve or reiterate a number of mysteries regarding the moon, many of which were first noted by the Apollo missions, but also from anomalous ground observations over the centuries. Firstly, what seems to have been the star of the show for this mission is the lunar crater and lava field known as Mare Orientale. The name of the feature means Eastern Sea, and several aspects of it make it unique among the other lunar basins, which are really lava fields. For one, this basin is less flooded with solidified lava than the others, and in fact, this basalt field is probably only about a kilometer or less deep, which allowed the feature to retain much of its features as an impact crater. The energetic asteroid impact that caused it actually did so in such a way that it caused the lunar crust to ripple, which resulted in three concentric rings within the feature. The astronauts noted that this feature is actually much more circular visually than what they had seen in their training. While nailing an age on this feature is difficult, we do not have geological samples from this crater. It is thought that it is the youngest basin on the moon, coming in as having formed 3.7 or 3.8 billion years ago. There's also a feature on exactly the opposite side of the moon where lava spilled out onto the lunar surface that may be linked to the impact. Think of it as a possible kind of reaction that telescoped through the then molten interior of the moon to the other side. Mare Orientale is situated strangely on the moon from our perspective, so most of the time it's only just partly visible to us, and lies on the limb between the near side and far side of the moon. But the moon has variations in what we can see from our perspective, termed libration, that occasionally allows for more of the feature to be seen from Earth. From Artemis, however, it was prominently visible in full. Another aspect of the loop around was that the astronauts noted browns and greens in regards to the moon. This is probably related to lunar volcanism, but stands as a testament to the fact that the moon may appear to be a very monochrome body, but it actually does have some color, just not nearly as much as Earth. Indeed, Harrison Schmidt of Apollo 17, who is a trained geologist, found colored soils on the moon, described across the missions as orange in color, and they are in fact volcanically related. This mission also set a record. These four astronauts, three Americans and a Canadian, now hold the record as the furthest any humans have ever traveled from Earth, surpassing the previous record, which was the ill-fated Apollo 13. Also of interest here is that there were parts of the moon that no human eyes had ever seen until this mission, basically only seen by robotic craft, if at all, particularly in the polar regions on the far side, where the Apollo missions were simply flying too low for the astronauts to see. From this higher perspective, the astronauts of Artemis were able to see more. It's also worth noting here that the human eye can sometimes see things that cameras really cannot do well. A well-known example of this is a total solar eclipse, where visually to the eye it looks much more detailed and striking than any photograph can convey. I myself have seen that with the 2017 solar eclipse here on Earth. No picture I had ever seen does justice to the visual look of a total solar eclipse. This works for the moon as well. Interestingly, the astronauts actually saw a solar eclipse on this mission. The moon, as they looped around, eclipsed the sun, and they were able to see the sun's corona. But not like it would be visible here on Earth during an eclipse. They were right up on the moon, so they only saw part of the corona as the sun went behind and emerged from the lunar limbs. All throughout this, the astronauts were taking pictures. Some will be spectacular, so look for those images in the coming days. And then came the infamous flashes that were observed. These were first seen in the Apollo 17 mission by astronaut Harrison Schmidt again, and they were momentary pinpoint flashes in the lunar night on the surface. These have been explained as meteorite impacts, but that may get revised as Artemis II observed at least five of them in a very short time. And then we get to some even weirder stuff. So the lunar terminator is the knife edge between the day and night sides of the moon. As the moon rotates, the terminator sweeps across the surface, just as the Earth's terminator does, giving us our own day and night. The astronauts described watching the terminator and the topography it reveals as being very striking, but they also made observations intended to shed light on a very strange, very long-standing mystery regarding the moon and its terminator. The moon experiences transient phenomena, some of which were observed even by amateurs here on Earth. They can appear as temporary brightenings or darkenings, and even clouds. Notably, Apollo 11 observed a brightening in the Aristarchus region of the moon, which had long been known to host events like this based on observations done from Earth. There are a number of potential explanations for what's going on here, and the transient phenomena may not all be due to the same thing. One option is outgassing from the lunar interior left over from its volcanic days. Apollo actually supports that this happens because they detected alpha particles when passing over the Aristarchus Plateau, which is likely to be a product of the decay of radon gas, which was confirmed later to be radon 222 that emanates from the crater that's escaping the lunar interior somehow. But it would not be seeping out if it's creating visible transients. It would almost certainly have to be explosive releases. Another phenomenon that has been suggested and may actually be an alternative explanation for the observed flashes is electrostatic discharges. The solar wind, or even the escaping gases themselves, could cause electrical discharges, which might cause the various transient phenomena. This phenomenon gets weirder, if in fact it's happening, because it's possible for electrical charging to actually levitate dust on the moon and create clouds. But that brings the Terminator back into the picture. One of the Apollo missions studying the Terminator had an experiment known as the LEIM, or Lunar Ejecta and Meteorites Instrument, and it was specifically looking for puffs of dust that should be created when micrometeorites hit the moon's soil. But the instrument accidentally measured that dust levels on the moon actively rise and then fall in lockstep with the Terminator, which is inconsistent with micrometeorites. Artemis II followed up on these observations and specifically looked for this phenomenon. And while the results aren't yet in, it may confirm or disprove the phenomenon. The idea is that the day side of the moon has a positive electrical charge, and the night acquires a negative one. This could mean that the dust at the Terminator rises off the ground and levitates, causing a kind of front that moves with the Terminator as a kind of electrostatic, low-gravity, permanent dust storm. There was actually a further mystery with the LEIM instrument. So hours after the lunar sunrise, the instrument heated up significantly more than it should have. This may have been the electrostatically charged dust clinging to it and absorbing heat to such a degree that it was near the temperature of boiling water, forcing the engineers on the ground to shut the instrument off for periods of time to keep it from being damaged. The Apollo astronauts may have seen this effect visually in that they noted sunlight behaving oddly near the Terminator, and actually an unmanned spacecraft also saw this. As a result, during the loop around of Artemis II, anyone watching the feed will remember there was much talk between mission control and the astronauts about looking for flashes and these sorts of transient phenomena, and looking specifically at the Terminator and taking photographs. It's because NASA has been puzzled over these phenomena ever since Apollo, and for good reason. So the Apollo missions never saw the lunar night. They were day-only missions. They landed and left the same lunar day. They did not go through the knife edge of the Terminator into night. That was considered dangerous and would have complicated the mission severely. And there's not much reason for those astronauts to be there in the dark. But any long-term lunar outpost or colony will have to deal with the lunar night, and specifically the Terminator, and the drastic temperature differences between day and night on the moon. The levitating dust and electrostatic effect is something we really need to know about before we put someone on the moon to weather the Terminator, because those effects could pose potentially significant dangers in a number of ways. Though there have been probes on the moon that survived the lunar night. And there are many other mysteries regarding the moon that Artemis II and future Artemis missions will shed light on. One of these is more samples, and that might with luck settle the origin of the moon debate once and for all. Another mystery is why the far side of the moon is so dramatically different from the near side in appearance. There are probably physical reasons for this, but so far no models fully account for it. Geological sampling from the far side in a future mission should help to understand this. And then there is a huge mystery left from the Apollo era. The returned rock samples were found to have been magnetized at some point. This points directly to the moon once having had a magnetic field, and by nature, an internal molten dynamo. When that shut down or how long it lasted are open mysteries. But more importantly, how did it start up in the first place? Given the importance to life on Earth that magnetic fields hold, anything we can find out about any planetary magnetic fields, whether active or extinct, will be invaluable in searching the cosmos for alien life. What new mysteries may come out of the Artemis II mission and beyond remain to be seen. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently eyeing the moon suspiciously. Before the 20th century, the moon successfully and absolutely hit its far side for the entirety of human history. I know, people say it's because it's tidally locked, but that's just giving the moon the benefit of the doubt. Because what did it do as the astronauts looped around it? It hid Earth from them, causing a communications blackout. Very questionable, the moon. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.